thank you for joining us once again for Poetry Night number 2. We're going to see how this goes. Joining us tonight is Alpha. She is 18, and she's been on poetry for quite a few years now. And growing up, she has a beautiful story. I personally want to hear it, but thank you for joining us, Alpha.
No problem. Pleasure to be here.
So why don't we'll just start it off just like that. Tell me about basically how you started poetry and how you or why you continue to do it.
Well, I actually started in my 7th grade English class. My teacher had us write a poetry, like put together a poetry book as an assignment, and I guess he was very impressed with mine. And so he introduced me to our high school poetry team, and then they just kind of immersed me in all of it. They took me downtown to slams and things, and I ended up doing like very well. Like I remember my very first slam, I came in 2nd place, which was awesome. And so then I just kind of stuck with it after that.
Nice. And I saw you were traveling. So are you still traveling for poetry?
I am. I think the most I've traveled is I know that I joined the Charlotte team, and they took us to Brave New Voices, which is like this international competition. They have it at a different state every year, and the last time it was in Houston. So.
Okay. Is there a specific style of poetry that you prefer? Or because I'm into poetry. It was more for myself, but I'm kind of leaning on it on the show because I want to have other people express that their poems that maybe they haven't read out loud to anyone. But is there a style that you prefer for yourself?
Well, as far as a style, I know I'm definitely a spoken word artist. Or if you mean more like theme, I know the majority of my poems are like Black Lives Matter oriented, related.
Okay. I appreciate that. I like that you, I'm glad that you're on the show. I want to hear some poems eventually, but I don't know exactly more questions to ask right now. I'm eager to hear some poetry from you, but I still want to get some background on your poetry. All right. So how about this? Is it more, Black Lives Matter, or is it more relationships? Is it mixed in a variety?
I definitely try to hit a little bit of everything, so I think I have poems in a lot of different categories. It's definitely mainly Black Lives Matter. I think that would be the majority of my poetry, but I typically just write based off of emotion, so whatever has me, I guess for lack of a better word, triggered at the moment is what I'll write about.
Okay. Well, whichever one you want to start with, whenever you're ready, I'll just listen to your poems.
Alrighty, so I can go ahead and do one of my newer pieces. It's actually called Rock, Paper, Scissors. There's a clip of it on my Instagram. I'll do that one. When me and my brother would fight, rock, paper, scissors is always how we would decide who is right. Best 2 out of 3, 6 out of 10, but eventually another argument began. See, I was like, why does paper beat rock? Rock is hard, strong, resilient, and might be a little dirty, but just because paper is white, that doesn't make it right. He says, that's cute. You thought it could only be white, this paper be Benjamin Blue? No, paper couldn't fuck up rock. But paper paid rock to shut the fuck up, told rock it was too loud, paid rock to sit the fuck down, bought the dirt, bought the rain, made the mud, and buried rock in it, paid rock to be a rock paper could stand on, but not only blue. He says, I guess you were right. Sometimes this paper be arrest warrant white. Call rock criminal. Call rock crook. Cut rock open in front of rock's family. Harvest fossils as evidence. Later sell it as art. Urban chic now controls how little rock pebbles think. Rock may have attained more minerals, may have a stronger base, but paper had a lot more space to out-organize rock, plan, organize, genocide, legalize our great divide, divide and conquer, divide and conquer, pin rock against scissor. So when scissor gets fed up, when scissor is ready to cut up, tells paper it got her fucked up, rock destroys scissor, and paper silences rock. Paper comforts Rock, hugs Rock, says, shh, don't start a revolution. Counteracts Rock's feeling of deceit, hurries to force feet. Rock romanticized transitory utopia of deceit, gives Rock a cartoon, a water fountain. A president causes heaven sent, says, see, I don't want to hurt you, just hide you. I don't want you to do bad, just don't do better. I don't want your knees in the dirt, but you can't complain. I hold no culture, I'm not that heavy anyways. He says that's cute. You imagine one good old-fashioned sheet, this paper be textbook new. Convivially teaches Rock of one-sided ancestry, says Rock be violent, throwing stone, bring death to the guilty. Says Rock be hatred through cop car window, riot. Rock brings sparks flying, turn the page, and says paper be holy. Paper be finance and education. Paper be constitution. Paper be eco-friendly, make everything better. Paper be love letter. Says paper be treaty. Tells Rock you need me. Reels in Rock renegades. Railroad Rock revolutionists. Nationally announces don't hate the player, hate the game. Now pledge allegiance to this cycle. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, Jesse Noose. Rock, paper, Trayvon, you. Rock, paper, please don't. And that is Rock, Paper, Scissors, Shoot.
Wow.
Felt the anger and a lot of imagery and a lot going on. So tell me more about that. What inspired you to write that? What happened and what's going on?
Honestly, believe it or not, with that poem, I was actually just sitting on the couch with my older brother, my little sister, my mom, and we were watching a movie, and I don't know why, but I was just like, oh my gosh, guys, I have this great idea. I'm going to make a poem about rock, paper, scissors, and I'm going to compare it to, like, the things that are going on in the African-American community, because I just felt like, I don't know, I was just thinking about it, and I was like, how the fuck does paper be rock? I don't get it. And then the poem just kind of wrote itself from there.
Nice. I like that you went from one spot to another and wrote this whole poem out, and it's quite interesting. It's a creative mind too as well. I respect that. It's a lot to express in a moment.
Thank you.
I believe we have a caller. I think it's someone we know, but let's see what's going on. Hello.
You already know who it is. you already know who it is.
Well, Earl, it's always a good time when you're on the show. Thank you for calling back in.
Yes, no problem. That was a nice poem, Alpha. I appreciate that. Like he said, I can feel the energy of how, you know, you just went through that. It got heavy real quick. I was like, dang. But I like it, you know. And I was going to ask a question, but you kind of already answered it, because there's been a time where I wrote little poems, stuff like that. This is like years ago, but it only comes out when I'm under extreme pressure. Like if I'm really emotional about something, like I can't make up a poem just right now, but if I'm under stress, then it will come out because I just need to express, you know, myself like that. And that's kind of how I started my YouTube channel too, because I need to express myself. But that's pretty fly. I like what you did there. I like it.
Thank you.
Earl, do you have any poems you want to share? Or do you write any poems, poetry?
No. If I have a poem, I got to, like, go on Facebook and search for it because, like I said, I haven't wrote a poem in, like, years. So if you give me some time, I can go find it. But just give
me
some
time.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to dig through all this.
So, Alpha, do you have anything from your – well, how do I say this? Through your poetry, is there – a top poem that, even though time has gone by, it's still one of your favorites?
Like an older poem. I think I always like my newest material. I know I have an older poem that my mother still says is her favorite for some odd reason. I wrote it in, like, the eighth grade, ninth grade. But me personally, I think I always like my new material, just because I think it's pretty cool to see how much I've grown as an artist.
Well, absolutely. That's why I figured I'd ask. Whichever you want to share next, I'm actually enjoying listening to your poems. And if there's anyone that's listening now for this episode, I'm encouraging you to call in, press 1, and feel free to share your poems and talk about them. So whenever you're ready, Alpha, I'll listen to the next one.
The next poem I can do. All right, the next one I'm going to do is called Dear Mister, I Still Don't Know Your Name. This one is a pretty intense one. I just wrote it a little while ago, but I'm starting to read it just because I think it's not a poem that it should be, like, censored or scared to say or whatever, you know. It's something that should start being talked about a little bit more and get out there as often as possible. So it's a little bit shorter as well. But, again, this one is called Dear Mister, I Still Don't Know Your Name.
All right. Sounds good.
Dear Mister, I still don't know your name. This letter will be the first of many, but I can't keep living life ashamed. In short, there are a few things I needed to say. One, you're welcome. Two, fuck you. Three, I hate you. Four, you hurt me. Five, I saw you. You're welcome. You know, I had to stop my brothers from killing you, and not because I'm a friend of you. I just know they go out shooting anybody who resembles you. Fuck you. You Christopher Columbus claimed a part of my body like I wasn't here already. Ignored me when I said no. You plagued my soul. I hate you now more than ever. I hate you like I hated myself for not fighting you, for not screaming, for not saying no enough, for not just unlocking the door for you hurt me. The very first text I sent was, Lexi, I think I just got raped. That was a part of your poison. You made me question my authority over my body. Was my no not enough? I had to call the first boy I ever loved just to confirm this was not my fault, that he would never, that you were wrong, that nothing I did, nothing I was wearing made this my fault. I had to ask him why it still felt like my fault I fought to feel. My mother says, go to the police, or by God, leave it up to me. I had to decide if I valued your life. I know. Hurt people hurt people, but this isn't right. I was left paralyzed, stuck on a loop thinking of you. I saw you. I found your Instagram the day Mikey died. Hashtag ball in peace. Still don't know your name, but your girlfriend kind of looks like me. And that is Dear Mister, I Still Don't Know Your Name.
Wow. Whoa. That was a wild one. I like that more. I like that one more. Because it kind of caught me off guard at the end. That was cool.
Edgy.
That was really edgy. That kind of, I really like that one a lot, actually. Wow. I don't even know what to say. That was really cool. So, well, even though I just heard it, so if there's anyone listening, how would you express or tell this story for this poem? Where did that come from or inspire you?
Well, obviously that poem is about a very unfortunate incident. The reason that kind of came out was because I hadn't really dealt with the situation, and I didn't really want to. I kind of just figured, you know, push it off, don't think about it, keep it pushing. And I didn't realize the way not talking about it or dealing with it was affecting me negatively and what it was doing to me, like, as a person, until I got a text message from somebody that totally triggered me about the whole incident, and I broke down and I started crying. And I was like, okay, even if I can't deal with this completely, like, I need to release a little bit of this somehow. And so I started off with writing this person a letter. And then naturally, just, like, the poetic side of me kind of took over. And it got presentable, I guess. And it ended up becoming a poem.
Nice. So a lot of your, it sounds like to me, a lot of your life moments kind of just inspire you to write it as a poem.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Do you ever just go anywhere and you're like, oh, hold on, I got to write this down?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It is the most inconvenient thing ever about being a poet. Or I've done it at work before, at parties, out to eat. I will write on napkins, name tags, anything.
Does anyone ever get worried when you're writing stuff down? Like, oh, no, don't write a poem about me, please.
I have gotten that before.
You never know, even this, but from what it sounds like, and it's great. I think it's an awesome way to be artistic and express yourself in any moment, given time of a spot of inspiration. I mean, like this moment right now could be a poem out of nowhere, and I think that's great. So what do you have any old poems that you've written that you want to read or share to see the difference in your time frame of experience?
I can definitely pull up one. I'll pull up the one I was telling you about that my mother, still one of her favorites, even though I wrote it when I was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
But I can grab that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if anyone's listening for a poetry episode, feel free to call in and share a poem or an open letter you have. And that's what we're doing. We're encouraging it on a spiritual level that you don't necessarily have to be an intuitive psychic reader. I like to touch on many different topics. I think poetry is definitely a spiritual way of letting emotions speak in words. And my goal for this poetry episodes are to basically speak the words that you wrote down instead of just leaving them on paper and encouraging you. And it just so happens that one of my good friends now, Earl, that was on the episode that called in as well, knows Alpha, and she was interested in being on the poetry episode. So things happen.
Absolutely, that is awesome.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I found my little poem I did back in 2013. I had to scour through Facebook to find this. But okay, I'm about to start.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. No one pays attention, but all eyes are on me. No one wants to listen to a black man's speech. They see my words and think yes, but out their mouth is another breath. I know that they feel it. They know it's alive. But do they have the info to see it through their eyes? Of course they do. Who doesn't? Y'all can sort of the lies, but are you ready for the change from your everyday life? But it's not mine to consider. You make your bed and your dinner. I can give my perspective on what blanket to sleep in or to switch to some veggies instead of that chicken. But even still, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to think and look at what I've seen. I hope to hear friends later and come tell me, yep, I feel what you're saying. You can't make this stuff up. I don't know anything or claim that I do. I just know that things purposely withheld from you. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my little thing.
All right.
Yeah, at that, when I made that, I was really, still researching a lot of things. And, when you even with spirituality, not even spirituality, but just truth seeking, you start finding out all this information and you want to tell people, but they look at you with that, blank stare like,
Yeah.
I made that because I was so frustrated from telling people about all the stuff I've been seeing, but they just, they just couldn't catch it. So I just made that out of that kind of frustration.
I definitely feel that.
That was good, man. That was good. Thank you for sharing your poem, even though it was from 2013, you said?
Yeah, 2013, yeah.
Hey, it's in the records. It's in the records.
And I found this other one I got to. It's a lot shorter than the last one, but I'll go ahead and let this one go too. I am darkness, I am light, I'm the one who brings you sight. I am first and I am last, I'm the future and the past. I'm loved wrapped with pain from the path which where I came. I'm most looked at and most hated, do what evil men created. Physical bruises, mental scars, make us forget who we are. Memories of our greatness, I asked him how do we attain this. Then God said, you want to change this, tell him come back to blackness. That's that one.
I like that one though.
See, this one is more dealing with, you know, spirituality and dealing with, you know, meditation, because, you know, when you talk about finding knowledge, you can only, well, there's a saying that you can only get light from darkness, all right? So whether it be you dealing from a trauma from your childhood or you trying to figure out, you know, your strengths or weaknesses, we have to go into the unknown to make these things known. So that was really the big thing with this poem.
Okay.
That sounds good, man. I like that.
And I like the level of, like, confidence in the words, like, not to ask or feel insecure, but, like, you confidently, like, declared what you are, like, I am this, I am that. I really like that. Mm.
Thank you. And those are probably the only two I've done. When I did poetry and, like, in school, I thought it was corny, so I didn't really put no energy into it. So, you know, that was that. But I find out now that it's really not – it's not that at all. It's really, you know, an expression. You know, people have different ways of how they have to, you know, express themselves. And spoken word, poem, being a musician, you know, talking mess on, you know, on the radio show or on YouTube. People just need to express themselves some kind of way. So however you do it to let that stuff out, let it out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying before. Spiritually, it doesn't have to be about being intuitive or, you know, numerology. Spiritually, just letting it out is another way of this expression.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, if Alpha, you got some more poems, sure, go ahead. I'll go ahead and mute myself.
No, you don't have to mute yourself.
No, because I'm doing something, so I want to, like, to be in the background as you're doing your thing.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Alpha, for your next one.
Okay. You asked about the older poetry, so I will read you. This poem is called Double S. And like I said, this one is older. This one is actually from 2015, so 15-year-old Alpha. Okay. I'm sorry, Double S, but we have to break up. It's not me, it's you. You're messing everything up. You're too tall. You hang over me and my friends, you got girls crying in bathrooms and guys playing pretend, overinflated egos, no one willing to be the hero. No, don't talk. Don't speak. Remember that little girl last week that was suicidal? Yeah, you called her a freak. You in reality really need to meet, because in 5 to 10 years, you'll be tasting defeat. You'll lose all purpose. Does it make you happy to see people broken and beat? You didn't have to. Nobody asked you to come and judge me. Your fingers are too long and straight, always pointing out another person to hate, and dinner with you is a disaster. You can never make up your mind. I swear you change that thing all of the time. First you want celery, then you want steak, then they make it just perfect, and you claim you already ate. At the dinner, it's worse. Do you want cupcake or cake? And don't start crying to me that I'm the current definition of pretty, because I know that changes over time, and I know without it, I'll be just fine. And would you stop staring at me with those tiny, tiny jet black eyes? That's probably the reason you can only see basic bitches, gossip, and lies. You can only see skin deep. You have no soul. And this Let's Play Barbie is getting kind of old. You got kids 9, 10 years old willing to sell their soul just to get a Kim Kardashian booty and a plastic nose. And your teeth are too sharp, sharp with jagged edge. You can't kiss me. You bite through, chew up, and destroy inner beauty and self-confidence. You're the reason everyone is so goddamn self-conscious. You may not be the absolute lowest of the low, but you are definitely penultimate. I'm so sick and tired of all of it. You want me to give you adulation just because you got people hating, but sorry for your adversity. I'm more mature than my generation. I look at you social statuses, and I think you're quite pathetic. I don't know how I let your strong arms get me wrapped up in it, but I will no longer show submission. I will show restraint, because your bright skin that used to have a meaningful glow has now become faint, and your purpose no longer shows. And that is Double S.
Nice.
Man, did you do get your math for that one? You must have been wrong to something.
did you break up with him with this poem? Because I really hope you did.
Oh, that is not even I have my fair share of breakup poems, but that one is strictly about social statuses. No real boy involved.
Oh, interesting. See, I need an explanation sometimes. Very, very interesting. It's cool. I like this poetry thing. It's a different topic for me, and it's a different way of understanding someone on a different level. And that's what I was writing about. Kind of wanted your opinion on how you feel about it, because, well, actually, I want to ask you that. Is poetry just not only a way for you to express something in a moment or define something in a unique way, or what do you enjoy mostly about your poetry?
Well, it's a lot to me. I feel like initially when I first write it, it's just a relief, because I'm not too good at articulating certain things. So like with the Black Lives Matter poem, just like it's hard for me to have a conversation with someone and have them fully understand what I'm trying to say about that or where I stand with that or what I mean. So I'll get frustrated and it'll build up inside of me. And then it's like when I write out in the poem, I kill two birds with one stone, because I release all of like this negative built up tension inside of me. And then on top of that, people understand the metaphors more than me stumbling over myself trying to gather the right words.
Okay, that's cool. That's very cool. So do you have any new inspirations that you're working on, or is it all in a moment where you have to finish it when you're ready?
Well, I definitely try to always write, so I have pieces here and there that I try to put together whenever a quote comes to mind, or if I just get a task that I challenge myself to write a poem. However, my best pieces that I tend to perform are usually the ones that are written within a moment and then edited later.
Okay. Well, that's what happens. That's what I do sometimes. Just like, well, you know, I want to reword it here and there. But,
yeah.
Earl, do you have any more? Where'd he go? He's probably working on something. Well, I guess I'll read the one that I read last time. Did you get a chance to listen to the other episode?
I was not here for that one, no.
It's all right. I had one poem. I'll read that, and it's not going to be as intense as yours and how detailed and cool it is, but I'll read it. It's kind of corny. Just give me one second. If you are listening, once again, for the poetry episode, feel free to call in. We still have about 30 minutes live on air. And don't be shy. We got some poems going on to express what we had written down. And I'm just finishing up something I was working on earlier, but I'll read the other one as well. I wrote a couple, I guess. All right. So this is the one I wrote about anxiety. I guess mine are more a little bit emotional. Anxiety for me is that abandoned business. You pass each day on your route to work wondering why it's still abandoned. It's in a great spot for business. Why is it still empty? Anxiety is that restaurant that puts so much energy, time, dedication, hope, and faith on dreaming of. Anxiety is that restaurant that worked so hard fighting to open, to reach that imagination it wanted to reach but failed. That restaurant with many people coming together to make something wonderful for the world. Anxiety is the failure of that dream, the ability to have touched it but not reach its full potential. It may be for numerous reasons why it had to end. It may have tried to find ways to reopen once again. It still may be fighting to do so. Anxiety is that restaurant that knows what it once had, the customers that so frequently visited, that restaurant that doesn't understand what it did. Anxiety is me fighting from within, trying to reopen once again, trying to return the light on that was once me. Anxiety is the place you couldn't understand, was still abandoned, and can still be me. So that was my poem on anxiety, and I wrote it because, one, I'm a chef, but the restaurant that I was facing at the time was abandoned, and I was having such an anxiety-filled day, but the dream that I was really talking about was finding love, and I lost someone I love very tragically. That's really where most of my poems are coming from right now, because it was a way for me to just let I guess the sadness and pain out in a different way, instead of just listening to people tell you it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think about my poem, even though it's not as you've been doing it for years, but give me some techniques. What would you do differently? How can I correct, fix it, make it better next time?
I am definitely not the best with coaching or editing other poets, so I have learned from being on a team. Because usually I'm just like the I like it or I don't, and I definitely liked it. I liked the way you presented it and what you had to say and how you said it.
All right. No problem. Thank you. Where'd Earl grow?
Sorry about that. I'm back again.
Sorry,
but I did find
more poetry.
Yeah, I did find something. You know, I'm still digging through Facebook, but I found another one. Now, this one right here. I don't know if people have dealt with this. I'm pretty sure we all have. You're trying to get over someone. You know they ain't right for you, but they still keep popping up in your head. You're like, why does this person keep coming up? I'm over this person, but you're still here. So this is just what this poem is about. It's over and done with, but I still think about it. Tossing shoulder to shoulder, bombarded by these images. I don't know why I feel like this. I already know what's up, but something ain't letting me keep that door shut. It's really quite annoying that I keep on bringing up this chick. It's like the download bar. It's like the download bar is on 98%. Can't figure out why I'm dealing with this vibe, because I know if you were me, you couldn't comprehend this guy. I just needed to get this off my chest. Better to say it than to hold back the shit. This is just me clicking the screen like we're the last 2%. It ain't here. And that is all. My poems are real quick and just boom.
Boom. In and out.
I like
cut
that.
To the point. It's cool.
Yeah.
So I
ain't going to lie. Y'all are inspiring me to, you know, make some more poetry, because I'm pretty sure I can pull something out, because, you know, there's always some deep stuff I can pull out, but I just didn't really, you know, go down that route with myself.
Well, for me, it was something I just did kind of in different moments of, emotional or different things that I was going through. And then I thought about it recently. I was like, why don't we just share poetry? Like, why don't you? Well, really, I was looking for a place to do, like, open mic night for poetry and kind of meet some people instead of just being home when I was going through a tough time. And I couldn't really find a place. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it on the radio.
There you go. That's the best way how to do it, to get people's voices heard. Because now everyone has an open mic around your town. And now everyone can, you know, get up in front of people and just, you know, speak, because people have stage fright, things like that. Matter of fact, Alpha, did you ever, like, feel nervous when you go up and you know, recite your poems, like, in front of people? Or is it something that it just comes out naturally?
Oh, I feel nervous every time I ever get up to do a poem. I know whenever I actually start talking and I verbalize it and I do the actual poem, I kind of space out, so I don't really have time to be nervous. But whenever I'm walking up to a stage or getting ready to open my mouth, I'm always terrified. But I actually told some of my friends who were on the poetry team with me about your station, and they were wondering how they call in to read a poem or two.
Oh, how they could do that?
They called in, but they said they we're not sure how to actually.
They gotta hit the number one on the keypad, and it's gonna put them on the queue for them to be, you know, on the call.
We do have area code 704.
That is
that.
Probably one of them there.
704, are you there?
Hello. Am I here? Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. What's going on? What's your name?
Hi, I'm Dax. Pleasure to meet you. Yeah, I'm Dax.
Hey, it's a pleasure to meet you too. Thanks for calling in. So I heard that you got some really good poetry as well.
Yeah, I think so. I've got two poems. One of them's old. Courtney knows about it. The other one's sort of new. If you guys don't mind, I can.
No, absolutely.
You know,
share. That's what the episode's about. Having new people come in and share their poetry and. Maybe inspire someone else or different aspects and subjects. So whenever you're ready, Dad, take it away.
All right, dope, cool, thank you. Okay. Hi, this is awkward. It's me here. People treat me like I can't knit. He seems weird. Bars. I'm not weird. I'm just a nerd. I mean, I was good fire bars, but how can I really be a narcissistic arsonist if my populace isn't hitting gunshots and projects aren't populating my oculus? Is it that obvious? The problem is how quickly I can go from having confidence to dropping it and feeling the exact opposite. Other than me, who really gives a hoot? I just want to be as radical as what makes a square root. I want to wear sleeveless shirts and snapbacks without being laughed at. I want to do nerdy poems and still get snaps back. But check it. If I'm going to be a nerd, I'm going to be the Tupac Shakur of nerdiness. Sporting new clocks with my sky blue socks instead of thug life tatted across the abdomen. I got hug life sprawled atop the side of my SpongeBob lunchbox. I got A, the honor roll inside my DNA. I've got heart and soul, I'm on a roll inside my DNA. I've got Penny, BB, CC, peeking around my DNA. My rhymes are calamity, you cannot handle me. I will always keep it proud like my family. Tell me something, all of you bullies can tell me nothing. But I know that I can tell you one thing. From now on, I am never running from who I am. I am a nerd. I am Carlton Banks mixed with TJ Henderson. I make it cool to be a smart guy. I'm out of this world like Neil deGrasse Tyson theories. The way I delicately bind these words together is less like spitting bars, more like knitting scarves. And if you think otherwise, then you seem weird.
Yeah, that's one. Cool. I like that.
Thank you.
Was that what your,
thank you,
was that
thank
your
you.
Older one?
Yeah, that's my older one.
I like that one.
Okay.
You represent
like
nerds everywhere.
Thank you. Okay. This is the newer one. It's inspired by a play we had to read. I go to Howard University. I'm in the theater program. This is inspired by a play by Lorraine Hansberry. It's called To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. Okay.
All right, take it easy.
To be young, gifted, and black.
Take it away.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. All right. To be young, gifted, and black is to be a ticking time bomb with a beautiful countdown. It is effectively a martyr for a movement burnt in effigy, helplessly living recklessly, wondering what's next for me. To be young, gifted, and black is to sometimes wonder whether it's worth it. Because in the heart of the artistry, at least partially, is the fear of becoming a carcass, because my name is DeMarcus instead of Mark. Scarred with never seeing the beauty in charcoal, the reason kids love snow but hate black ice. To be young, gifted, and black feels like a death sentence masquerading as a clock. To have your culture shunned until it's appropriated. Never given second chances, the only shot we get being the one in our backs. As if cops have a hobby of embedding bullets in black bodies, this blackness be a blessing and a curse. Contradictory blood coursing through our veins, and yet our hearts still beat like 808 bass drums. And yet we still walk the earth as if America ain't afraid of its own shadow. And yet we turn these gifts into weapons of mass inspiration. We don't know when the clock will strike for the last time or when the countdown will reach zero. But until our lives dim, we fight despite the odds against us, until the next generation of young, black, and gifted may finally grow old. And there we go.
Nice.
Amazing. As always.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
What's your name?
Well,
my name is
Joe. We got Earl.
Joe, my name is Earl.
Earl, Joe and Earl, pleasure to meet you guys. Thank you for having me do that. That was cool. Thanks, Alpha, for shouting me out.
No problem, no problem.
See what this is about.
Do you have any more you want to share?
Do I?
Yes, always. What?
Yeah, give
yes,
us
yes, don't, not yes, always. All right. I'll do one more, and I'm out. I do one more.
Okay.
I am oppressed for being left-handed. The same side used to scribble such similarly spoken sentences finds itself swallowed by a right-hand world. Here's a fun fact. The word sinister actually derives from the Latin word sinistra, meaning left. Here's another fun fact. If you scroll down, if you look up the definition of sinister and scroll down to the synonyms, you can see that two of them, in fact, are dark and black. We are forced to face this every single day. If we shake with our left, we are considered rude. If we use our hand during the Pledge of Allegiance, we are deemed unpatriotic. When you make an oath in court, you are expected to put your left hand on the Bible and your right hand up as if it's ready to strike you, to make you a martyr for a movement. They don't want us to succeed. The key for them is for us to stand educated. That's why any notes I write down on how to resist oppression are immediately smudged back into my palm. There are no left-handed scissors to cut me away from the society. I would issue a complaint, but it turns out they only listen to you if you have your right hand in the air. My hands up, don't you? See, my hands up, don't shoot. Please, it seems that everything left is wrong, everything black is wrong, and in right America, everything I do is wrong. But no matter what I say, everything will stay the same. Go figure. But I mean, who am I? Just another neglected lefty. That's it. That's what I got.
That was good, man.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Thank
See,
you.
See, that one was deep because, you know, when you talk about how darkness and blackness has always have a negative tone into it, and it goes into spirituality as well. A lot of people have to, you know, detox that duality from their mind, because light and darkness is really is two sides of the same spectrum. And because we've been programmed to believe that dark is bad and evil and light is good and this and that, and it's spiraling to this, you know, race problem that we have, this racism in itself. And, you know, when people understand that, like I just said, it's two sides of the same coin, it's two ends of the same spectrum, we stop looking at each other from, you know, which spectrum on this color line you are. You just look at you for what you are as a human being, or, you know, whatever, an alien, whatever you are. But I like it, man. I like it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I like it, too.
Unfortunately, I got to go.
Oh, it's no problem.
Yeah,
thank you for calling in, Jess. Appreciate it.
I have to do some homework. Thank you so much for listening.
Hey.
This is great. You guys keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Joe and Earl. Thanks, Alpha.
No
you guys
problem.
Are great.
Appreciate it, man.
Have
thank
a good
you for
night.
Coming on.
Thank
hope, to
you.
Hear, hope to hear from you next time.
All right. I'll see if I have anything new.
All right. I think it's great because at first, you know, I wanted to do episodes on poetry to have others just share their poems so that way it's a different way of expressing it. Maybe they never read their poem. And then I come to find out there's a lot of poets out there. But I'm listening to all your poems and your poetry, and I'm realizing, you know, it's not just emotion. It's just it's another way of explaining something, another way of visualization, another way of bringing the point out. And it's really cool. It's something like you thought you knew, or I thought I knew, but listening to all the poetry, I'm going, wow, it's something else. It's completely different in a great way.
I agree. People got to express themselves in different ways, and this is a great way how to do it. Also, if you can chime in, how much has, you know, creating poetry and reciting poetry, how has that done to your mental and emotional state?
It definitely helps me out a lot because, as you may have gathered, a lot of my poetry fuel comes from, like, anger. So it's definitely done me a lot of good to put that on paper and then be able to release that onto an audience versus just keeping it inside.
All right, my bad. Okay, well, there you go. You got any more poems, Joe? I want to hear some more of your stuff. You got something? Hello?
Oh, sorry. I forgot I had the mic. I turned the mic on and off so that way I don't make too much noise. But I was saying, I was just editing this one that I wrote the other past couple of days because I made the poetry episode. I didn't want to come on the new episode without a new poem. So I have a couple here. I just want to check this one out real quick. I'm going to keep it as it is. Let me see what the other ones were.
And you do poetry night every Monday?
I'm just going to do it every Monday. I want to encourage others to call in. The first episode, someone did call in and shared their poem. So if you're listening and you want to do a read off any of your poetry and you want to even promote any of your social media, by all means, call in. The 929-477-2767. Remember to press 1. read your poem, tell us about it, and we'd love to hear from you. And that's my goal. I want to hear from others and expressing emotions, or happy, sad, angry, because I was thinking about it. I was going, you know, not just the fact that I wanted to hear and read poems, but how many poems did we ever write that, you know, basically didn't get verbalized? And I think it should be the whole purpose is to be verbalized, to share it. So let's see what else I got here. I'm not sure exactly how it sounds, so I'm just going to read it as I read it. I began to question everything, the light and the dark, time and space, passion and love, values true to the believer, through his eyes anything were to be possible, all but for love. In night's light of a weeping willow, by sunset a new feeling, optimism, flight, I began to question everything. Why must a dreamer dream in dark? Each time the sun sets, why must he breathe such thoughts of life? Why does he dream of such vivid sight? So clear but untouchable, I began to question everything about love. If there's ever is true love at first sight. That was one. And this is all,
hey, I like
I'm not
it.
Sure if you, if I shared that with you, Earl, but I around August, I lost my girlfriend to, she took her life. So it was very, very hard for me. And then that time, so emotionally, obviously, it was going to be there as a hard time to overcome. But that was kind of why I turned to creating this blog talk radio, is because I wanted to help others on so many different levels for different purposes. So these poems that I have are mostly kind of like sad and sappy about love. But I wrote the new one. Let's see if this is like it's all right. Let's see. Letting you go. As the first few weeks passed by, so did my sanity. Eventually, when you become the one in the seat, I'm not to blame. You see, it got to the point when my mother told me I know. With my eyes holding back pain, I hated to say, you don't know a thing. And once again, I closed my eyes, so I ask if this is reality. As I rewind this tape, the winding noise releases my pain. As it takes some time to rewind, I become sublime, knowing I'm visiting you one more time. Pressing play, all I have are the best scenes of you and me, together smiling at our moment of sweet embrace. The best painting on the wall with vibrant colors and a scar. So many ask for its price, but none know its meaning or story. Letting go isn't something I'm okay with. When no one but few hold a sacred space of who you truly were, especially within my space, I hold as a soul. The memories let me feel the nice warm breeze. These memories I recall your smile with the warmest place I've ever been. As if I'm standing in a volcanic eruption, the sad, dark, and twisted show of what's left before it's all done. Your eyes told me more than I even imagined beyond a heartbeat. So much so I forgot my heart had a beat. Until now I'm wondering how to change the rhythm. You have to let go, being a victim. I have a little more in me, letting go, I feel, that I'll never have a trace of you left. How can someone be okay, knowing that the love they found was washed away in seconds flat? The memories of us become as cold as soft sand, and I can't let go of the moment I last could hold you. I stand by the waves as they crash, and as I remember you there, I remember no such flaws that you so often spoke of. I remember them just flawless. Let go. So the space I hold for you feel like shiny seashells on a wall, so unique and amazing in each pattern, some broken, some shattered, but this piece of you is a part of my own pattern. So how do I ever let go of what is left of you? You live in my mind, living rent-free, and I wish it. I wish to visit you in these memories as I rewind each time. I meet you for the first time many times. Letting go, I just say goodbye and accepting everything will be okay with time. As I sit silently in my mind, rewinding the time for each wave to hit me from time to time. And that was the poem I wrote the past couple days.
Wow, I felt that. That was deep. I got to just say peace and blessings to the ancestors, because I felt that, you know, you really dug into your heart to pull that one out. And sorry for your loss, because you have told me that story about your girlfriend, but that poem on top of it is really just, you know, it resonated with me. So, peace and blessed ancestors. I got to light a candle and smoke something for that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, that one was definitely very powerful.
Thank you. It means a lot coming from you, Alpha. You're a pro. You got a lot more. I want to hear another one from you.
Thank you.
So what else do you have there for your poetry, Alpha? Do you have anything you... Oh, actually, so your Instagram is the only place that anyone can follow you for your poetry?
On my Instagram, there's a link to my YouTube page. I haven't really been keeping it up, though, so I don't promote it as much. There are only, I think there are like 3 older videos on there. But my Instagram is where I mainly update and post about my poetry, where I am, what I'm doing, clips and things like that.
Yeah, all
so,
your shenanigans.
For anyone to follow, your shenanigans. For anyone to follow you, what is your Instagram handle again?
My Instagram is going to be Alpha's Story. So that is ALPHASSTORY, Alpha's Story.
All right. So if you ever want to, I didn't have the words in me right now. If you ever want to follow Alpha and her poetry, that's where you can find her on Instagram. And I would love to hear another poem from you. And if anyone's listening, feel free to call in. We've got 5 minutes live left on the air, and we'd love to hear one of your poems. If not, and you're hearing this at another time, we'll be doing I'm going to try to do poetry night every Monday night.
Awesome. For me, I can do... I don't even think I have a title for this poem. But.
So we'll do the untitled.
That's always fun. Alrighty. I just can't care anymore. I'm sorry. If I hurt you, then I'm sorry. If you hate me, I'm sorry. It's been fuck you lately. You got an attitude. You think I'm mad at you. I can't care anymore. I'm sorry. But care and cage are two akin. I lost my way impressing friends whose loyalty didn't even belong to me. I literally begged for a replacement reality. My mentor tells me if I try, I could be a real problem. Little does he know it takes absolutely zero effort for me to become a real problem. A natural disaster, a catastrophe, the rapture, the damned, and you want me to care because I blocked you on Instagram. I'm sorry. I can't keep up with who's pretty and who's petty, who's got the juice and who's got the tea. I can't focus on you while fixing me. Life ain't a fantasy. Ain't easy. Please believe me. Fuck the toothache that comes from candy. This mouth knows real pain, real pressure from all the real things I'm not allowed to say. This tongue has wrapped around its own throat when these ears heard you deserve to be hung. These teeth have bitten into bone when a bat tried to break my brother. These lips kiss its own body, its own bullet wounds, as if it thinks this lipstick stitches. These sneakers don't roam high school halls, no longer punch holes into walls. This fist fights for a revolution inside and outside of this body inside and outside of this society. Your acceptance no longer holds a place on my bucket list, so fuck it, sis. If you gotta hate me, then hate me, but know who you're hating. No, she ran out of energy and meant to be, been reaching for anything to keep her heart beating. Sad artists aren't meant to be sober. So she looks further, feels farther, thinks nothing can harm her till they do. So she does everything dumb, everything dangerous, bad things and bad people she won't think of, creep up out her chest, pour out her eyes, make her face a fountain of forgotten. Whips out weed like tissues, re-rolls backwards like blankets, light her fire, lets her lighter for warmth. Scrolls through her phone to find a sacrifice. His heart will become her spare parts to restart a ship she did not know sailed off a long time ago. Reality remade me. So sorry if you hate me, but my behavior will no longer be dictated by spectators. I must move with my mind, my decisions, my soul, not soul sister. This girl, young lady, this woman in my mirror, that the world wouldn't be ready for her. Turns out she wasn't ready for it. I must heal her before I help you. I'm sorry I don't care anymore. I'm sorry if you still do. But care and cage are two akin, and judgment cannot be my friend. This poem was written out of maturity and growth. It does not need your acceptance, but accept it, because I have made the choice to be better now. That's how it has to be. Besides, you weren't really fucking with the old me. That is that poem.
Nice. I think, so is this another way that you you kind of like let your anger out too? Because I kind of want to ask you that. I wanted to ask you that for others that are listening, is maybe that we all have a different, me and Earl talk about all the time spiritually, is that we all have a different walk of life, that we all go through different obstacles that are either aggravating, emotional, different stories. So if they're listening, and this, you said absolutely, it's something that maybe they could be encouraged to do instead of acting out or putting it on paper, making it rhyme. What
yes,
for, do you have any recommendations for anyone that might want to start writing poetry and they're going through something, or they have a lot of emotions going through them?
Well, I think the most important thing with starting to write spoken word poetry as a way, as an outlet, is not to try to write a poem, if that makes any sense. Like, if you just take your pen and put what you're feeling down to paper, like, you'll be able to edit it and make it pretty later. But what's important is to get within your head or within your heart in that moment down on a paper without it being censored or without trying to alter it. Because the worst thing that you can do is not write something because it doesn't fit there or doesn't rhyme. Like, I've never written a poem starting with the first line, writing it to the last. Like, I always have 6 different pages scattered around with quotes and things, and then I put it together at the end. And then another important thing is not to try to compare yourself to other poets. Because I know a lot of people that feel like if it's not roses are red, violets are blue, or like very slow and deep, then they don't really consider it poetry. And I feel like if you get up and you present it and it's your art and it's your craft, then, you know, you shouldn't compare it to anybody else or compare it to anybody else's format, because that's the whole thing with spoken word poetry, that it's literally whatever you wrote, however you perform it, that is your poem.
I like that. I like that. See, I did that too. I was like, it's not going to be as good as yours because you've been doing it for a while. But I like that. It's just basically how it's written down, how you put it on paper and how it came out. I like that. It's a great answer. I actually didn't expect that. And it's a perfect answer. I don't know. But I wanted to thank you for being inspired to be on this episode as a guest. I thank you very much for calling in and sharing that. Any Monday night,
wait,
please.
Wait,
do you have
wait,
any
hold
new
on,
material?
Hold on. I have a question.
Yeah.
Nope. So Alpha, do you have a journal?
I have several journals.
Okay, so I'm only asking this because me and you haven't had a real conversation about, you know, spirituality, so I don't know how deeply spiritual you are, but do you ever just write things down, and do you see those things manifesting in your life in the future?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have a story? Do you have like a story to share? Because you know, things that I do is I write things down, and sometimes I write things like in a story format for something I want to manifest in my life, and the shit happens. You know, it happens. So if you have a story that you can share, if you have one, I think people who are, you know, spiritually inclined would like to hear.
I definitely have some of those. Those would be things that I would have to actually like go through and look for. Just because I'm very messy when it comes to pen and paper, so there's a little bit of everything, a little bit of everywhere.
Right.
So I definitely, if that's something you guys are interested in me reading on, like, one of the next shows, I definitely want to come in and read you guys one of those.
Yeah, anytime you want to call in, absolutely. Do you find it as, like, not an addiction, but, like, a healthy addiction?
Writing or poetry?
Both.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, actually, I don't know why I asked. It doesn't matter. It's the same answer for both of them. Yes, I definitely have to write. Absolutely have to. And I literally, like, physical pen to paper. Like, I'll type something, but it won't, like, satisfy that need that I have to, like, put my pen to the paper and write, like, write crazy, write the words out. So definitely very addicted to that.
All right.
Do you ever, like, I know you said earlier, like, when ideas come to you, you just write it down on a napkin or whatever, but do you ever have a place to, like, you know what, I really want to create something, you know, awesome. Do you have, like, a sacred space or some kind of, you know, ritual or vibration that you get into to bring something down?
Awkwardly enough, my, like, safe place has always been my bathroom, no matter where I live. I don't know what it is about it. Sitting on, like, the countertop by the sink, my back against the wall, it's just very, it's like it's a small space, and it's always the warmest part in the house for some reason. And I don't know, that's where spend the majority of my creative time.
That's cool,
awesome.
Though.
It's
a part of you.
Cool.
Yeah.
A little quirk of mine.
Well,
that's why on your Instagram stories you be in the bathroom all the time. You just be in there. That's just your area.
My area.
That'd be really cool if you have like a morning letter to like family and friends, like when you're having coffee in the morning, you gotta leave someone a letter, but it's just like all poetry or a letter. But it's unique. It's something that's a part of you. I think that's great. And I'm glad you got to share it with us today and whenever you want to, actually.
Thank you.
But again, thank you for joining us on this episode. And we'll be doing it every Monday. So until next time, if anyone's listening, I'm hoping to get a bunch of people that just follow on. That's why I picked one day out of the week. So that way anyone that feels inspired that they want to share their story or share their poetry, you are more than welcome to join in. Earl, are you going to start
writing
some new ones?
And then I saw that I was followed by your Instagram. Do you have an Instagram specifically for your station?
I don't have an Instagram for the radio station, but my Instagram handle, which I'll still make public, I know right now it's private, but you can still add me. It's J_Giochino, which is GIOACCHINO, which is my middle name. I might have to change that to a millennial's third eye. But until next time, we might be doing a show a little later tonight if you're interested in listening. It's probably going to most likely be an open form topic and then some psychic readings. We'll see what happens. I kind of tend to do random shows once in a while. So if you do like the show, follow us on Blog Talk Radio, A Millennial's Third Eye. You'll be notified via email if we do have a show coming up. And follow us on Facebook. We have many posts that we place so that way you're aware, you're interested, you might catch us on the conversation.
Awesome.
And Earl,
you said
you're
having
interested,
another show. You're having a show
yeah,
tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
Like another one?
Yeah, we might do
another
show in like a couple hours. So if you want to join in on either of you, you could both join in.
Man, how late you be staying up? You're about to have a show that starts like at damn near 11 p.m., 12 p.m. of your time.
Yeah, and what happens too is there's different people that are calling in over the state, so it's just different time frames. It's not just New York,
right?
It's everywhere, which is pretty cool to me because I'm getting California, Virginia, Texas, different people all over.
Well, yeah, man, I'm going to be there because I'm just, you know, hanging out, putting some things together for my little store that I'm making. Well, I already made it, but I'm just adding new listings. But, yeah, I'm in there. I'm in there for sure.
All right, cool. Let us I want to hear a new poem from you next week.
Who, me?
Yeah, I want to hear one from 2019.
Oh, yeah, I got you, man. I got you. I can brew up something.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you guys once again. I'm going to end the episode, and then next week we'll be back with another episode for poetry.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you guys for listening. Take care.
Peace.